who's the guy
Blog
with the beard?
Talk Radio.
Here we go. Oh, shit. Never mind. We'll talk about that later. Gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Paragon Radio. It's Monday night. Let's do it. I'm Pogo Man, your host, let's bring on my co-host. Let's not waste time, shall we? Two lets. Some people say he's mad. Some people say he's a Viking. We just call him Mad Viking.
Who has so far dodged 2 inches of the 20 inches predicted snow, and I'm not complaining one little bit.
No, because so far, so I say so far, it's been a most mild winter. Mm-hmm. When they predicted, oh, it's going to be the harshest winter in years.
Somebody read those caterpillar fur a little wrong.
I think somebody screwed up the Farmer's Almanac this year. Or, like my mom keeps saying, if you notice the weather patterns, we're becoming like Florida. And Florida is going to be soon become like us. Like, you ever see the day after tomorrow where, like, up here it's nice and warm and down in Florida it's becoming, you know, winter or something like that? I don't know which movie it was. It was predicting the weather patterns get all screwed up.
I know what you're talking about, but, well, you know, it's a case of we will see.
We'll see. Okay.
I'm going to take my responsibility here of why the mm-hmm. late promotion for the show, mainly because, like I said, I was predicted by the weather forecast to have 20 yeah. inches of snow. And needless to say, 20 inches of snow, there is a very good possibility that I could lose power. Well, I told Pogoman that, and he waited. But unfortunately, what I didn't tell him is I took Skype off my phone because, well, the new stream service, they are very helpful. They are willing, you know, if you got a problem, they're willing to help, but you're not the only one. And there are times when it's not good if you're trying to work and your phone is turning into a pinball machine set on multi-ball. Add the vibrate so it drops onto pavement.
Nah.
So it got to the point of, it's got to go.
So we worked out a new communication system.
Yes.
Two tin cans and a really long string. No. It's all right. We got things set up. Alan says only in Ohio. Oh, Silver Grant. Oh, here in Ohio, it has been snowing 1 minute, then it would be bright and sunny the next. And Alan says only in Ohio.
Well,
open mouth smile.
I hope that pattern comes to me and we do not get the bombardment that they've been preaching for the past few days.
Yeah, that's just crazy. That's just wild.
Or, to speak in New Yorkies, from your mouth to God's ears.
That's right. Oi. And really quickly, congratulations to Rey Mysterio Jr. He's the first announced inductee into this year's WWE Hall of Fame.
But the thing with him and his kid, I'm going like, is Vince Russo back in writing?
I know, right? So,
who thought this would be a good idea?
I know. Well, Conan is going to come and he's going to be allowed to show up and induct him. And he's never been in WWE. Well, actually, no, he was in WWE, I believe. For a short time.
He was?
After WCW was bought, they were there for the quote-unquote
I don't remember
now,
him.
What was it? Maybe not. Now, hold on. The Judgment Day was just attacking Edge, right?
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Gargano, his wife, LaRue, and, I can't remember the other guy's name, the silent one, just came down to ringside to defend him. As soon as they hit the ring, they went to commercial.
So it is Vince Russo writing.
It's got to be. Oh, here's a build-up for a match. Go to commercial. Like, what? Stay with it. She's the poison pixie. I know that. Dexter Lumis. That's the other guy. I just remembered that. Okay. Finance, just stay with that. What? A possible build-up for a match? Yeah, go to commercial. All right, and now there's a commercial. I just looked over. There's a commercial for the new Dungeons & Dragons movie, The Honor Amongst Thieves. I saw somewhere earlier critics and fans who've gotten a chance to see advanced screenings of this gave it good reviews. So, okay.
Which was not the case of the first one, and definitely not any of the sci-fi movies.
Any of the other ones that came previously. So, and not the case for Jared Leto and Morbius, which brings me to one of our favorite topics, the Razzies, which we'll start with. Okay, so here's an article courtesy of Superhero Hype. Ready? Morbin time has come to a close in the only way that it could, with a triumph for Jared Leto in the coveted Worst Actor Award at this year's Razzies. Leto was not on hand to accept his award, which he got for portraying Dr. Michael Morbius in Morbius. This is Leto's second Razzie. After his win for Worst Support 22 for House of Gucci, he has also won Best Supporting Actor at the Oscars for his role in Dallas Buyers Club. So he's gotten the best awards and the worst of awards. The poor box office performance of Morbius makes any direct sequels unlikely. However, the film's post-credit scene appears to lean towards Morbius' return in a potential Sinister Six project. Whether Leto will actually reprise his role again remains to be seen. Although Morbius was nominated in 5 Razzie categories, its only other win came in Worst Supporting Actress, which was awarded to Adria Arona for her role as Martine Bancroft. The Razzies themselves won Worst Actress, however, for their 43rd Worst Actress nominations blunder. The blunder in question was when the Golden Raspberry Awards nominated 12-year-old actress Ryan Kiera Armstrong in the category for her role as Charlie McGee in Firestarter. Following the immediate backlash, the Razzies removed Armstrong from the ballot and replaced her with themselves. The movie Blonde won Worst Picture and Worst Screenplay, while Tom Hanks was a double winner for Elvis, with awards for Worst Supporting Actor and Worst Screen Couple with his latex-laden face and that ludicrous accent. Rounding out the awards, oh, I'm so happy for this one. Machine Gun Kelly and Maude Sun share the Worst Director Award for Good Morning, Morning spelled M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, while Disney's Pinocchio remake won Worst Remake, Ripoff, or Sequel. Previous Razzie winner Colin Farrell won the Razzie Redeemer Award for his turn in The Banshees of Inisherin. Wow. Well. However, to be fair, we did tackle the worst. Hold on. Now, where did I do with the other article?
I don't know. Well, you're looking for the article. I still want to see one of these people. Oh, at the Oscars. It's no longer the red carpet. It is the champagne.
Yeah, I had the article for the Oscars. Yeah, we got to discuss the Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hold on a minute.
It's the champagne carpet. It's beige.
What are you doing for dinner? Are you going out?
I'm staying home.
Okay. Because I didn't have time to do anything yet. I was wondering if you're going out for anything. Let me know.
Okay. But I was just saying, that, you know, on the champagne carpet now, I still want to see a reporter, you know, go up to Tom Hanks and is like, all right, so you're nominated for this, this, and this to possibly add to your collection of Oscars. But America's asking one question about your career. when are we going to see Bachelor Party 2? I just want to, that's what I want to see his reaction. And did we lose Pogo? I think we lost a Pogo.
Right here. Hello.
Oh, there you are. There you are. Yeah.
I'm right here. What happened? I didn't have the volume up high enough?
You were.
I might not have had the volume up. Okay, sorry about that.
Yeah, but like I said, I want to hear.
It's a new episode. Okay.
Yeah, so I was like,
yes, I heard
Tom
that.
Hanks, you're...
Yeah, yeah, I heard that. Uh-huh. I heard that about that thing. I was like, wait a minute, but he supposedly happily, they rode off into the sunset on that bus.
Well, that doesn't mean his son's going to have a bachelor party.
Oh, right. Okay. I'm so sorry. Okay, hold on. I want
to
find...
Like, go to Steve Martin. They're like, oh, you may be hosting for the Oscars again, all right. And where are we going to see a sequel to The Jerk?
Yeah, right. That would
be
funny.
Take these serious Oscar, Oscar-winning serious actors that point out the fact that they started as comedians.
Yeah. All right, so we're at the Oscars. I missed last night because I was at my sister's. Apparently, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once was the big winner. And I started watching this movie, and sadly, because it was one of those things when I had to go take my mom to dialysis, I don't get much sleep the night before when I put it on, I fell asleep to it. And it's one of those things, like, on my definitely movies I wanted to watch. Had I known it was nominated, I definitely would have watched it over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That was
Beast,
the big winner.
Maple Leaf asked, what did we think of Morbius? It was Sony.
I have not seen it.
It was
one of those
Sony.
Things when I heard how bad it sucked. What?
It was Sony.
What'd you say?
The
yeah.
Sony curse.
It was one of those things. Yeah, it was one of those things. It was so bad, I just, like, I have not seen it yet. It really, when I heard how bad it sucked, it was one of those things like, it's a Sony movie, I heard how bad it sucked. It was just one of those things, I was just like, you know, now that I know it really sucks, do I want to waste? It's like this. I have Paramount Plus, and I have Top Gun Maverick queued to watch sometime this week. Mm. Do I want to take the time to watch Morbius or Top Gun Maverick?
Mm.
You know, it's like, do I want to take two and a half hours, buy some snacks and watch that on my laptop or Morbius?
Oh, there is
a
story. There is a story about the new Top Gun. Now,
yeah.
Those who have been paying attention knows that the movies overall has been not doing well as they're going with the politics instead of story. Well, there was a little bit of a verbal, they shouldn't have said it, but it got caught.
Hold on.
Steven
hold
Spielberg.
On.
Oh, I got to wait. All right.
Okay, I'm here.
Okay, so a video that got caught, and now they're trying to distract it. Steven Spielberg goes right up to Tom Cruise. So I was like, Top Gun was great. It was perfect. You know, this movie saved Hollywood. Why? It was gorking on the story. It went with canon. It did not deviate. Gee.
The new one, you mean?
What? Yeah.
Okay. Huh.
You know, but
that's what it needed.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's like, gee, keeping with canon.
You mean like every good superhero movie?
Or, you know, the latest Ghostbusters Afterlife?
Yeah. As opposed to the all-female one that made no sense at all?
I still say they could have had an all-female group. You remember, I gave you the whole storyline.
Yeah. Yeah,
characters
do too.
What?
I mean, yeah. I tell you, even when Tony V was co-hosting with me, I really thought, you know, no, okay, I'm not making fun of Tony. He's very liberal-minded, okay? He hated the idea. He said, no, it didn't work. I was like, wow. I let him take, I was like, okay, I'm going to let him, I don't want to have a fight, you know, because towards, you know. We butted head. He said, Pogo, this is horrible. I was like, really? He says, God damn it. It didn't stick to the material. It's not like, it's like an alternate universe version of Ghostbusters. It's not
really
funny.
Written alternate universe.
Yes.
Flashpoint.
And
it's Flashpoint.
And he goes, right. AFK. And he goes, my friends. All right. And he goes, my friends even said the only funny parts, and I can verify this now, the only really funny parts were when the original cast made their cameos.
And I was, and I still remember Bill Murray's part of going, I can't see him as a fop. F-O-P, fop.
Yeah.
But there he was.
And that was it.
I was like, wow.
And then they even tried to set up, and then they were going to set up a sequel at the end. If you remember, there's an Easter egg. Who's Zool? Like, All right, really quickly, let's do some roll call. Over in City of Heroes. It's us, and we have a bookworm. Worm, W-Y-R-M, a baby dragon who likes to read.
And there
hanging
was a maple beast somewhere.
We had a maple beast hanging out. I guess they ran out there listening in. Thank you. They want to know what we thought of Morbius. It won the Razzies. It won Razzies, nominated for several, and made by Sony. That's all you need to know. And over on Champions Online, it's us hanging out. We're hanging out in the WCOC studios. You look out, we see that flashing WCOC sign. You go over where it says social, you know, by the door. You walk in. You go down to where you can make a right. You follow that long hallway. You make a left. You walk into the actual studios, and you see a group of people. That's us. We're hanging out there with Silvery Grit, who likes to hang out on top of the cameras to make sure they're recording us properly. If the camera guy isn't doing it, she kicks him in the head and says, hey, get it right. And then Alan and the Teddysons, Clarence and Mr. Nom Nom. And that's what we've got.
Oh, it was like before we got on
that's
the air, and you probably heard a little bit about it. Pokemon is once again talking to me about the end games content on Champions. I'm like, nope, not interested. Still not interested. I want
No. Well, I was asking you, okay, the two devs who do the Twitch channel for the costume contest.
Yes. Bastard of Kale and Kaiserin.
Right. Which one is which? Because I always get them confused.
Kale's the male.
All right, Kale. I mentioned in thing, are you going to do anything with Clown? Right? And
I've been asking,
he wanted to know about it. He says, what supplement is it? And I said, no, they have their own supplement. It's just called Clown. He goes, oh, okay, I'll have to look into it. And then somebody else mentioned it. Because in-game, I saw somebody dressed as a clown. I clicked on them. Guess what the name of their group is? Their super group.
Clown.
Yeah. See, yeah. And it's the same acronym. I was like, you're named after our super group's favorite supplement. And they gave me a smile back. I was like, yep.
But it's like,
so
I've been asking for years for new content. I have to admit. I have to admit, I sound like the kid from the Bugs Bunny cartoon. I want an Easter egg. I want an Easter egg.
I want an Easter egg. Even if they put the clown car in somewhere, just parked next to a circus tent, we'd be like, oh, clown! All right, hold on a minute. Discuss something. I'll be right back.
Okay. Yeah, but it's like, I want a story.
I can't call right now. I'm doing a show. 9:30. I think my show's on right now. I could drive to Burger King after the show.
Okay, I'll take a Whopper, some fries.
Oh, you heard that? You're actually, hold on. I thought I was, damn it, I lowered the volume to zero. I guess it doesn't mute. I'm here, it's like, like, my show is on. I told them. I had half an hour. Remember before when I said this? It's
yeah.
like, now they discuss. All right, sorry. Okay, I'm taking orders, Daniel. I'm driving off.
All right,
show,
he's taking orders. What are you? All right, I got my Whopper meal. What about you guys?
I know, that's not good. If I hear someone say ham on rye, hold the mayo, I will slap you with a fish.
Bookworm goes, I want a large fries and a milkshake.
Who said that?
Said Bookworm.
Oh, wow.
And we mean any more on the science technology side of it. We have plenty of magic. Like, I'll just take a regular mission, no alert, no rampage.
Right.
No gang
right.
up with 50 people, but, no cosmics, a regular, hey, there's a story that it has
right.
people that you fight or people that you have to work with or people
well,
you communicate.
On. Some of the things are science. If you go by the fire, where the fire trucks are, and you go down that way, people are on fire, that's science-based, and there's something where they shrink you down.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and
they,
you have
they,
to go in.
Yeah, but they're saying they just need
right.
new ones.
Oh, okay. You don't like that one. Well, pardon
yeah.
me.
Now, I even suggested this one. And I will do the setup. If you remember Whiteout, it has a cliffhanger ending. Secondary Protocol.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So this is the Secondary Protocol. And you also involve that particular mission. In question, you have Mechanon take the virus, go to Canada, use that same area that you go into, and inject the captured Ronin with the virus. It mutates, and now you got the super Ronin-ish.
No.
There you go. It's science.
You have. No, they're not super. They're cyborg Ronin-ish.
No. Super, because it's a virus. So, well, hold on. You got a point there. It is a nanovirus. It's a nanovirus. Yeah. Nanovirus. Okay, you do have an argument. Okay, all right. I'll take that one.
No. Make it super. Because part of Pogo Man's origin is he was injected with nanotechnology to surgically repair his broken legs. And everybody thinks he's a cyborg. I was like, no, he's not a cyborg. They just repaired the damaged tissue.
Mm-hmm.
And then they burnt out. So everybody goes, oh, so he's a cyborg. No. Read the origin story of him. If you take 2 minutes to read the origin story.
He just has a tendency to overshoot the jump. And it's like, I'll take you when I come right back.
No, that doesn't act. No, you guys said that he has to make the full jump. Like, he doesn't make the full jump. He just goes there. He knew exactly where he was landing. Short bus goes, so he has to make a full jump. I'm like, no.
No, but it was funny to talk about it. You had to admit.
I know.
You come back going like, God damn it, they all were jumped again.
Well, that I think we allowed it because I think that was the first time he tried the max, you know, the jump, that
yeah.
first one. But I think he made the roll. I think he made the roll. So, see, we're talking about Champions Now. See, Champions Now was more fun anyway because that's more, you know, I gotta give credit for that campaign because that was like they put the emphasis on role playing, and it was definitely the right group for that. So.
It was like you hated and loved my character during that time period. It's like you break someone's jaw.
I say we
like,
go back. We go back to that. We still go back to that.
I go, God damn it! I heal them, and there's still the one that you still can't be arguing about. Like he just casually says, "Can I interest you in the wonderful world of accounting?" And then we get the accountant's company of Viper, Viper, and Viper.
Well, what's funny about that is they put the emphasis on all right, here's the difference. The old days in the 80s, nobody played Presence. Presence was like, who needs that? It's like, did you read up on Presence? No, who cares? Shut up. Yeah. Now, in this game, even when they put it in, if you watch the videos, they say, yeah, Presence is a big deal when you're role-playing. Because if you read the comic books, you know, it's like Batman going to a bad guy. Boo. You know, that's it.
Oh, someone saw Justice League Dark.
Yeah. That's it. That's the whole thing.
We wait for this human's death. Boo. What?
Yeah. That's the whole point. That's Batman's presence. You know, he just shows up.
But like I said, you were having a ball when I did that.
Like I said, back in the day, I had this group, they wouldn't freaking role play. And it's like, I'm pulling teeth here. The idea of roll was, how many dice can I roll for this? Like, come on, man. It's like, when you guys had all these skills and you worked on your backgrounds, I thought that was awesome. It was just like, cool. You know, like I said, back in the, and then I found this article in the, like, I picked up the adventure clubs, the old ones, the ones I missed, and they had, like, if you have this in your group, like, holy shit, like, the worst role players I have in your group, like, the worst players I have, like, holy shit, this was my entire group. Like, the ones I made fun of, it was every one of them. Like, oh, my God, this was my entire group back then. And this is why I got tired of playing all the time.
We do check up on the spiritual successors. And here we go. Ship of Heroes.
I think they get...
Next. Your turn.
Yeah, I got nothing. But Alto, who's not here yet, he did want me to discuss something.
All right.
And I think you could talk about it, too. They want to give The Lord of the Rings the Star Wars treatment. Yes, and we're moaning because, and you know what I'm talking about. And we were going to talk about it last week, but I hadn't. And remember, I said my homework this week, and I finished that right away. I finished before Bunny movie night. I actually, it was 8 episodes, 8 hours, maybe, I think, 8.5 with the extra time. But I binge watched it over the weekend. I started over the weekend, and I kept going. I was done by Tuesday afternoon, actually. But, okay, and that's based on the Silmarillion. You know, to me, watching it, it was just like trying to read the Silmarillion. I didn't know where the people were.
Yeah, the Silmarillion is pretty much is like, you know, trying to read a family tree. That's pretty much it. You go like, okay,
yeah,
these are names.
Yeah, that's it. It's like, huh? And there's no background to the Silmarillion because that's the background for the other books. And the thing I always hated about the Silmarillion was my dad had a copy of The Hobbit. I want to read that. Oh, well, you have to read this first.
No, you don't.
When you're 11-year-old and you are 10-year-old and you want to read The Hobbit, you don't have the 10-year-old The Silmarillion when they don't know what the fuck is going on. They don't understand that it's part of a bigger world. Just give the kid the copy of The Hobbit and let him be happy and get hooked. After 3 months, I said...
You want to hook them real fast? Go back to the ABC 70s cartoon. That will do it.
That's what I did. I watched that, and because of that, I wanted to read The Hobbit. But no, he hands me the Silmarillion, and he was all smug about himself. Said, I refused to read any of those books after that. It took me 3 months to get through the first 50 pages. Of the Silmarillion.
And you just learned...
Why the hell?
Yeah.
I don't know what I read. I was like, here, take this back. I don't know who these people are. I went to the library and got a copy of The Hobbit, right? You know what he did when he found out? He took the book away from me. He goes, no, read this first. It's like, what are you doing? Just give me the damn book. You know, I didn't say that. I was like, I got this book out to read for a school project. Oh, no, you have to read this first.
I was about to say, you said damn to your father in the 70s? Asshole.
No, no.
Backhand.
No, no. Looking back on it, no. It was just, my mom said that. She was like, let him read the book he took out of the library. I swear to God, he went to the library, returned it.
Oh, jeez.
Like, what is your problem? So, I never read any of these books until I was in college. I've read other fantasy books like Elric, some other one, you know. And I tell people, you know, in college, because I wrote fantasy adventure stories, and they think it was funny because I was like, well, I was like 10 years old, and I want to read The Hobbit, and I explained the whole story, and they gave me a copy of The Silmarillion. It's like, somebody goes, wait a minute. Really? I was like, oh, that explains everything.
The Silmarillion is the V-chip of The Hobbit series.
Yeah, it's for people who don't know, it's very dry, and
Bookworm
it's basically
goes as dry as toast.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and what's funny was if I had when I was in 11th grade, one of my teachers, they wanted me to take this experimental class she was teaching, like the other books. If I had said no and taken regular 11th grade English, I would have read The Hobbit in 11th grade. And probably that summer, I probably would have read, you know, The War of the Rings. And probably asked about The Silmarillion. She says, why the hell are you being forced to read The Silmarillion? You know? Just, you know, she probably would have said, no, you don't need to read that. Right? So I didn't read. So I finally read The Lord of the Rings 2 years after I graduated college. Since then, I've read it 3 times. When the movies were coming out, when Peter Jackson's movies were coming out, I read them.
I was kind of waiting.
One of the guys,
you read The Silmarillion when the power was out and you needed something to fall asleep to. I was waiting for that.
Yeah,
one.
No. I finally read it. I think when I was 30 years old at work, and a couple of the women I work with says, "God, you finally read that." But you had a look in your face like it was so painful. It's like, oh my God, I just finished reading it. I don't remember what I read. This one guy, though, he's such a Tolkien fan, goes, how come, oh my God, why was that so painful to read for you? That's such a great book. I was like, and I just looked up, I'm tapping my finger, like I'm doing now, and I'm just imitating it right now. I'm tapping my fingers on my laptop going, what in the hell was so great about that? I was like, it's just notes. It's not even like a story.
Well, they even say in the description, like Wikipedia, that it is basically just a gathering of notations.
Yeah, it's not even like, and I made a comment somewhere on social media, and some guy goes, "Well, I read this to my daughter." I was like, "Then you must have like hyped it up or got a different copy than I did, because my copy it reads just like an encyclopedia heading." When encyclopedia thing, cause it's just like this, blah 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 blah. Like, who cares? Oh,
and
it's about
Ulric
the
begot, and Ulric
yeah,
begot
yeah.
Otto, and Otto yeah. begot. It's like, all right, you can only begot so many times.
And I begotten, and I behad about this one. Holy shit! Are you kidding me? But anyway, let's get back to... Anyway, I want to say this. The Rings of Power are based off the Silmarillion. Okay. They are. I mean, because it's way before The Hobbit. So if it's before The Hobbit, it's got to be based off the Silmarillion. And here's the thing. Now, the difference between Star Wars and The Lord of the Rings are... Ready? The War of the Rings, or Middle Earth. Tolkien wrote a lot of stuff, okay?
Mm-hmm.
when you write stuff, when you have stuff written about it, it's hard to sway away from the written lore. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and this is what the in Alto gave me a video, and I agree with him. You can only sway so much from the written text about characters. Gandalf is there. And you only have, like, a 0.0 or a 0.3 or 0.03% luxury, flexibility to sway away from that. Okay? Which is kind of what they did. Okay, in the Rings of Power. And I'm fine with that, what they did so far, what they're doing so far. But you sway away from that anymore, and you're going to piss people off.
Yep.
Like in The Hobbit, when they Legolas and his character Toriel. Well, who the hell is she? And what they did at the end of The Hobbit with her, where she rode off on her own. Great, because you never hear of her again. But she's not in The Hobbit. So it's like, why are you introducing her? Okay, this is why she was introduced. Guillermo del Toro was supposed to be the original director of the movies. At the last second, like a year and a half before they were supposed to start directing, he bailed on the project. Peter Jackson had to come back and direct these movies. Remember, when he came back, he had 18 months to get everything ready. So that's why the Hobbit movies might seem chaotic, especially the third movie. Because if he was directing, he said he would have done these in like two movies. He doesn't know why they were going to do a trilogy based off of one book that was like, I don't know how many pages. But like, remember, The Lord of the Rings is a trilogy of books, and each movie was based off of one book.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So to him, it was just like a chaotic mess. That's why The Hobbit might not seem as good as the Lord of the Rings trilogy. But even he said that. So I'm not sure if he's involved in the Rings. But that was the thing, too. They're not sure if he's involved. I'm not sure if he's involved in it. But, yeah, you could have other people involved. Not just Peter Jackson has to be involved to make any Lord of the Rings project good. But, you know, okay, you could have called the Rings of Power the Silmarillion, but doing that, you would have had to base it off the book. Which,
and
like,
you would have turned off a lot of people real fast.
Right. That's why they call it the Rings of Power. And I guess they're just going to, like I said, gee, guess what it's based on? The creation of the rings. That's what it's supposed to be about. But what's kind of cool is the hobbits are called Harfoots in this one.
Well, if memory serves me right, there are two versions of the hobbits. So that could be the other half, if memory serves me right.
I'm guessing these hobbits are going to be the ones that form Hobbiton. Because they're like migrational.
Nomads.
Like they say they go here. Nomads, thank you. Nomads, sorry. Nomads. They go, I've had a headache all day, sorry. I'm not thinking straight. So they go, they even mentioned they go here in the spring, here in the summer, here in the fall, and here in the winter. And they have a rotating nomadic, they're like a nomadic tribe.
I'll make it easy. There's an upcoming game, Lord of the Rings, Gollum. It's the story of Gollum. Do that.
Yeah. Like, there was a game, Shadow. I forget what it was called. Lord of the Rings Shadow something. And in the end of it, a guy makes a ring. The One Ring. But it's blue. So the guy said he played it. Oh, okay, it's an alternate universe version of Lord of the Rings because it's not the one true ring. It's supposed to be his version of the one true ring. But it's not the real one true ring because the one true ring isn't blue or have a blue fire to it.
Right.
Like we said, you can't, you know, because there's written lore, you can't stray. Let's go to Star Wars for a minute. Hold on. They did nine movies in the epic story. I mean epic, because the main story. There were three good movies, 4, 5, and 6. The prequel sucked. 7, 8, 9, Disney bought. And I know a lot of us said, well, they spent $4.5 billion. They have a plan. Thanks to Kathleen Kennedy taking, you know, this big-ass 5,000-page binder. I don't know how big it is. It seems like that. From George Lucas and throwing it in the closet. Oh, we don't have any source material to go by. She said going into the ninth movie, we don't know who the overall villain really is. Huh? So guess what, folks? Disney had no fucking plan thanks to her.
So the prequel sucked, and the sequel really sucked.
Sucked, right. So basically, everybody went like this in this chat. Oh, so Star Wars, 3 wins, 6 losses. enter Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni. Why? Oh, Dave Filoni worked on a little project called Clone Wars, the animated series. That was a huge win for them.
Yes.
Jon Favreau, really good. I'm combining their names. I'm shipping them. Jon Favreau, really good director. Look at everything he's touched for Star Wars. So far, it's been wins. Okay? He's filling in the blanks. Like, there was a thing, Asako. Well, how did she survive Order 66? Go watch the new Tales of the Jedi.
You poof.
There's an, I did. Okay. There is a story where she trains with the clones on being massively attacked by the clones. Okay. That's how she survived, because she trained with them in case she was ambushed. Not by the clones in general, just by a bunch of troops. So because of that, because Anakin wanted her to train for any situation. That's how she survived.
Oh, we got a few minutes before you have to get the book. And you said you wanted to do... We got 13 minutes before you have to pull out the tome.
Okay. The tome. And from the tome.
Right. And you said you wanted to do your votes on the air.
Oh, shit. Yes. Okay. So anyway, here's the thing. Star Wars, you could get away with Star Wars and Star Wars because they only have movies. They don't have books. And the books they have, George Lucas said, they don't count because the only thing that's canon are the movies and the TV shows. Okay? Everything else, because the books, he never gave the official okay for.
In other words, he just scared you and said the holiday special counts as canon.
No. Actually, I'm sorry. Hold on. He said, actually, you know what he said? He said the movies, the Clone Wars, and Rebels. He never said that original holiday special. He said everything after that. No, that's actually originally before he made the deal, actually before he sold to Disney and all this new stuff is out, he said originally, this is what he said was canon, all the movies that were out back then. Remember, this is before he sold it to Disney. So originally, the movies, the Clone Wars, and Rebels. And this is back when those were the only things out, and the holiday special were the only things out, the original holiday special. And everybody was laughing, like, he didn't mention the holiday special, and they said, that's right. So we were laughing about that.
Okay.
Hold on. Wait. I got to play a song before we begin.
All right.
Get ready. Hang on.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You just made the list. And get it on. No time.
Yeah!
Money.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Until we say it's over.
March Madness Mayhem.
I've changed my costume to my DBZ form. I am now Pogoku. I just made that name up. I know we're going to get sued by DBZ somehow. But
anyway, now for those who have not been paying attention, March Madness Mayhem is where we voted for 64 songs and then play it down a la the March Madness NCAA tourney bracket style. We get one song to be deleted off of my list and possibly on the auto music. And now we are at the Sour 16. Wednesday, barring any power outage due to the upcoming snow, we find out what goes to the Enigmatic 8.
I must ask a question.
Question.
Last week, you said only 5 people have voted for week 2.
Yes.
Do we have more than 5 people voting already?
We are getting close. We are. Make number 5.
Hmm. Wow. People, vote, man. Okay. Okay, let's get to it. Why we?
All right. And we start off again with the Northwest Territory, or top left bracket. If you want to make your own votes as well, listen in, make your decision, and either private tell me on Discord or send on the game mail of your respective game to me. All right, here you go, Pogoman.
Yes.
Your choices are...
I'm ready. Pogoku!
Insane Clown Posse, Jump Around versus Rick Astley, Never Gonna Give You Up.
As much as I hate Rick Astley, we must get rid of the Juggalos. It is now Juggalo hunting season.
Juggalo hunting season it is. Okay, so that is changed now.
Yeah.
All right, next choice is Don't Be a Ballsack versus Get Off My Back. Sarah Hester Ross versus Brian Adams from the movie Spirit.
We will vote for Brian Adams.
All right. All right. We have fully apologized several times over for Brian Adams.
No, there is no excuse for him.
All right. Okay, now we are in the Southwest bracket, the bottom left.
Bottom left.
Barney, I Love You song versus Samwell, What in the Butt.
Really? Must you ask this? Not only is it Juggalo hunting season, it is Purple Dinosaur hunting season as well.
Okay.
I carry two shotguns.
Silver, how dare you vote for the Samson season? Well, like I said, vote, send me a tell, and you can See if you can protect it. All right.
Wait. Who did I vote? Wait, what did I do? Samson's theme song. What?
Oh, and Bookworm. Yeah, that's Get Off My Back. And Bookworm is voting with us. Okay.
Oh,
so let me
okay.
get my AFK. Yeah, he's sending me a private tell. So let me register his votes. It's only fair. He's voting.
Well, I didn't know it was Samson's theme song.
All right. So, okay. So for all those listening now, because I'm now joined with Bookworm.
Hold on. If Matt had told me that was...
I said from the movie
Samson's
Spirit.
Theme song. I didn't know it was Samson's theme song, though.
Right. Well, anyway.
I can't keep track of every theme
I
song.
I said it could happen, and it did. Once again,
what?
The two go into battle. This time it's not on Twitter. It's not on the media. It's Shatner, Mr. Tambourine Man, versus the Sulu Dance.
Okay. I was saying we have to get rid of Sulu because it's not fair. But, oh, my God. Only Shatner can make Tambourine Man sound like a dramatic... Like, ridiculous. That song's got to go. I'm sorry. It's horrible. It's just really fucking horrible. My ears almost, my eyes were like, my eyes were tearing. My ears were bleeding. It was just, good Lord. It was just horrible.
Right. Okay, so now we go to the Northeast Territory. That's to be top right.
Yes.
Lords of Asses, Spank My Booty versus Vanilla Ice, Ice, Ice Baby.
You know what? I got to leave a Spank song for Masquerade. So we'll vote Vanilla Ice off.
You mean you want Spank My Booty to be deleted then? And you're going to vote for Spank My Booty?
No. We're going to... No, wait. No, sorry. Wait, we're gonna vote for. Sorry, we're gonna vote for Spank My Booty. We're gonna leave. We're voting for Spank My Booty, right? Because she wants a Spank song to make it through. Right.
Right. All right.
Right. Spank My Booty for. Sorry.
Okay.
Right.
So Trump, Green Acres versus Joe Dolce. Shut up your face.
This time, shut up your face. You'll be safe.
All right, so Trump, you're saying Trump will advance. All right, now we're in the Southeast Territory, the bottom right.
Okay.
Booty Man versus Boogie Woogie Woo.
By the Juggalos, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I told you, it's Juggalo hunting season. You don't need to ask me.
And finally, the last bracket.
Mm-hmm.
Ween Ocean Man from SpongeBob Movie. Versus Chowder Man, I am the Chowder Man.
Oh, God.
I told you they're going to start getting tough.
I know. This is the toughest one for me. I know. This is like the toughest one for me. Pretty much all of them. We got Chowder Man, which sounds pretty cool, and SpongeBob. Oh, I'll vote for SpongeBob.
You're voting for SpongeBob. Okay.
And wait, hold on. Are any of these anybody's theme song I have to worry about?
No.
Okay.
And I just got the rest from Bookworm. Okay, so let me change those properly.
All right. Can I change any of my votes?
Yes.
No,
because,
I just leave. Just
leave as is.
No, well, I'm still regret telling me that Bryan Adams is Samson's song, but how dare I vote for Samson's theme song? And what is Bryan Adams going up against again?
Get off! Don't be a ball sack.
See, I kind of like that song. It kind of makes sense, though. And it's hilarious. You know what? Leave it.
All right. We have now surpassed between you and Bookworm last round.
All right. Very good. Very good.
Well, okay. You don't know why people don't like it. Well, people liked Bryan Adams when he was rocking. Once he got it to ballad, it's like, we know you can rock. Why can't you rock now?
Hold on. It's like Billy Joel. I'm from Long Island. Billy Joel's a Long Islander. In his early days, he rock and rolled. Then all of a sudden, everything had to be a serious ballad about a cause. It's like, dude, remember your early days when you made a name for yourself and everything was fun and uplifting rock music? Can you do one of those again for us?
I mean, I'll give credit to We Didn't Start the Fire. It is upbeat.
Right.
Yes, it's a history lesson, but it's upbeat.
And that was the last one. That was it. After that, everything had to be Down Eastern Alexa, whatever. And everything after that was just, oh, my God, dude. Here's the thing. We had a really cool rock station on the island, okay? Mm-hmm. And they got even cooler. Over the summer, they started doing, like, the B-sides of, like, awesome albums. And they were doing requests and playing, like, hardcore rock music that, like, we hadn't heard them play in ages, or we didn't think they'd play in ages. And then, and this went on for, like, months, like, from the summer until the spring. It was like, holy crap. Like, I wouldn't think of changing the dial, right? And I was working out this gym, and I go in after work, and guess what? They were cranking this station. On the weekend I go in, no matter what time of day, this station was on. And then all of a sudden, we got to April Fool's Day. To celebrate our new format of classic rock, we're going to play old Billy Joel A to Z. And we're like, okay, it started on April Fool's Day. Like, you think this is like some kind of extended, you know, like some kind of long April Fool's joke? Mm-hmm. And
another example, Sting. He performed recently where I live near the Bethel Center of the Arts, which is the original Woodstock site.
Right, right, right.
The first half was all the Police songs that were hits.
Okay, cool.
Everyone's jamming,
right,
and having, as soon as they heard Englishman in New York and he's starting with his solo songs, half the crowd leaves.
Really?
Enough said. Enough said.
Wow,
that says it all.
See? See? Okay. The intern bots are, like, hovering up and down. I guess they're trying to jump up and down at me. But they do have their signs up saying vote often and early, or early and often, and just
well,
vote.
Not often, you know, just once around.
Well, they're saying vote early. They're saying vote now,
yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Okay. So they brought me the tome from the tomb. They got me doing
it.
They went to the tomb to get the tome. That's what they're trying to tell me. Okay. All right. Hell Lord Satan has joined us. And I think they have a party coming up, which we'll discuss afterwards. We'll make sure we have time to do this now.
Yeah.
So in, let me settle down now. We're done with the votes. In the annals of history, I'm just going to make this short and sweet. We've had a lot of cool supervillains, a lot of powerful supervillains. The entries in this book, they ain't one of them. Just basically, if you have a supervillain in this book, you need an upgrade big time. Because these are oddball criminals.
If Ambush Bug is laughing at your villain, that says it all.
That's it. If Condiment King is laughing at your, is laughing at your arch villain, your arch nemesis, you need an upgrade. if he's laughing one of these. Anyway, oddball criminals from comic book history. I give to you members of the Legion of Regrettable Supervillains. All right, here we go. First off, good lord.
Come on.
All right, from the Golden
Age. Come on,
Age.
Golden Age. We need another double entendre. Maybe we'll summon rain. Come on.
Oh, this is good. This is good. We have an evil inventory.
Evil inventory.
Oh, you'll see. Okay. With their distinctive uniforms, vehement rhetoric, and vile atrocities, the agents of Nazi Germany seem to have been invented with supervillainy in mind. And comic book creators before and during the Second World War drew plenty of inspiration from such real-life evildoers. In fact, some long-lasting Nazis continue to pop up in contemporary titles. Here are a few of the more notable examples from the earliest endeavors of those nasty Nazis. First off, the first one was created by John Cassone, debuted in Zip Comics number 29 of MLJ Comics, September 1942. I give you Captain Murder. The name says it all right there, folks. Few Nazi villains bore such overtly ominous names. But Captain Murder wasn't one for subtlety. A warden in a German prison, he delighted in torturing and murdering his political prisoners. He had a particular zeal for executing Christians. Hold on, I'll get to that in a second. Preferring to consider the Nazi movement his religion. Luckily, the web put an end to his wanton destruction of human life. Who is Christian here? We are Jewish. I'm sorry. Wow. Now, hold on. A Nazi going after Christians instead of Jews? Come on. Didn't he get the memo at the office?
Don't know.
I'm sorry. Guys, read your history. Come on now. All right, next up. This one's created by Tony DiPreta. Debuted in Clue Comics number 7 of Hillman Periodicals, March 1944. He is Dr. Plasma. The number of evil tattoo artists in comics must be in the single digits. In fact, Dr. Plasma might be the only one hired by the Nazis to ink confidential information onto the skin of their agents. Dr. Plasma meets a grisly end at the hands of the Boy King and his giant. Yes, if you remember the crane of page 40, which we discussed
yep.
several weeks ago. Not only do they fling him miles out into the ocean, they take the time to tattoo an ironic warning on the dead man's body before he's dispatched. Who's the good guy again? Okay. Next up, this one was created by Harry Stein and Mort Leave. He debuted in Air Fighter Comics number 2 of Hillman Periodicals, November 1942. I give you Half Man with a hyphen between half and man. Half Man makes up for his less than intimidating name with his appearance, having brutally damaged half of his body after an aerial dogfight with the heroic Sky Wolf. Colonel Von Tundra is rebuilt as a ruthless cyborg who takes glee in pain and murder. Although eventually brought to justice by Skywolf, he is briefly abducted by the shaggy, brainless swamp monster, the Heap. Okay, this one is created by, unknown. Yeah, that's what it says here, the Heap. Heap of what? I don't know. I don't want to know. But this one was created by unknown. Now, you know when it's bad when it's by unknown. Debuted in Red Band Comics number 3, Rural Comics, May 1945. I give you The Human Fly. This Nazi hitman invested in possibly the most unnecessarily complicated alibi known to any assassin, a performer in a traveling circus. He climbed the sides of buildings while wearing a theatrical fly costume. He'd slip into a window while his mechanized wings kept climbing. He'd murder his target and then rejoin the wings on another floor. The keen-eyed newspaper man, King O'Leary, put an end to his bizarre modus operandi. Finally, our last nasty Nazi, created by C.C. Beck, Otto Binder, and Pete Costanza. He debuted in Captain Marvel Adventures, number 8 of Fawcett Comics, March 1942. He is Mr. Banjo. Shortly short, and Appleseed. I know. It's the Nazi banjo, I tell you. It's the banjo of evil. Portly, short, and apple-cheeked, the seemingly humble Mr. Banjo decked himself out in a modest green suit and straw hat, while the unassuming musician wandered the streets, apparently strumming, tuning, and plucking at his banjo. He was transmitting important codes to Axis agents hiding nearby. That may not seem like much of a challenge for a hero like Captain Marvel, but it was enough to turn Mr. Banjo's entry into the insidious Monster Society of Evil.
I'm still thinking about
wow.
The heap. I'm going like one letter change and it's a silver age. The hemp.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yes. And what's funny is we don't have a thing for the heap. There's no entry for the heap.
Maybe you got smoked.
All right. Oh. Hey. All right. We're on to the Silver Age. This is a villain enemy. This is an enemy of Captain Flash. Created by Mike Sikowski and an uncredited writer. You know, at least he gives credit. You know, I'm giving credit to another writer who's uncredited. Debuted in Captain Flash number 1 of Sterling Comics, November 1954. Favorite Michael Jackson song. Wow, he had a favorite Michael Jackson song back in 1954. Man in the Mirror. He saw into the future and saw this Michael Jackson person make a song. Good Lord. His favorite quote, another foolish creature to nourish myself with. The villain's name? Mirror Man. Get it? Another man? Oh, God. Okay. For many of us, a glance in the looking glass reflects only our reflection. For Captain Flash, defender of right and champion against evil, it reveals a menace from an alien realm. Out of the night, it came to kill and destroy the greatest of mankind's scientific minds, shouts a panic caption in Mirror Man's debut. We're also warned that not only is Captain Flash unable to bring this most terrifying of all foes to justice, but their duel will also bring death to one of them. That particular badge of hyperbole never pays off, however, for, spoiler alert, both Captain Flash and Mirror Man walk away from their confrontation intact. Boo. But the menace of Mirror Man is dire indeed. A leering, tentacled creature with stretching powers from an unknown dimension, he can produce himself from or disappear into any mirror. This gives him access to literally millions of locations around the Earth, although he makes his debut through a particularly unimpressive medicine chest and a men's public restroom. Perhaps he also needed to use the facilities. Captain Flash, in his civilian identity of Keith Spencer, scientist at the Atom City Radiation Lab, is the first to recognize the Mirror Man threat. Stumbling across one of the creature's victims, Flash skirmishes with his new foe and comes to understand its needs. This mirror monster, whatever it is, needs silicon to live. why Merriman chooses to suck the matter from human bodies rather than gobbling up a sandy beach as anyone gets. Hold on a minute. Hold on. So you tell me this Merriman, if he sucks all the matter from human bodies, can make silicone rather than going to a sandy beach and sucking up the sand to make silicone. He failed chemistry. In fact, well, Merriman is targeting...
Hold on, hold on. I call on this one here. I think I figured it out here. All right. We have stretching. We have mirrors and silicone.
Yes.
This person lives in Los Angeles when the silicone breast implant
was just being made. No. He has tentacles. He has tentacles.
That doesn't help the argument.
He has tentacles, not stretching. Wait, where did you say he lives?
In the L.A. area with the silicone, California.
Silicon Valley, yes. He helped create the valley, yes.
Well, I was going with the silicone as in because the 60s is when we started getting the silicone breast implant.
Yes.
You said
he was five years ahead of him. Yes.
Yeah. Because you said he had to go to the, he came out of a bathroom mirror. So I was like, okay,
that's
now
right.
We got it.
But there's more. In fact, Merriman is targeting Earth's greatest minds. His reason isn't made clear. Maybe he's making one of those factories, those labs. But when Captain Flash uses a convention of scientists as bait, Merriman slithers right into the trap. I seldom have a selection of all the world's best scientific minds to choose my victims from, he quotes. Just before the captain flips a hidden switch and all the room's mirrors revolve into the wall, all the luxuries of the modern bathroom. Although the reflective rogue escapes, both he and Captain Flash leave their final encounter looking forward to another conflict. Merriman swears revenge. Captain Flash promises destruction, but we're all left hanging. A third confrontation never occurred. We're left to wonder if Earth ran out of brilliant scientific minds and Merriman took his business into space. Okay, just a moment.
Merriman is in hog heaven in today's California. I told you.
Okay.
See? I wasn't the only one.
Where is that? In Discord?
In City of Heroes. Bookworm.
How come I don't see that?
It's a local.
But I'm there. Oh, maybe I'm in the wrong chat. Hold on.
Local chat.
I'm there. Oh, it did, and then everything else popped up. Okay. Yeah, she could just go to every. He could just go to any. What is
LA,
Beverly
Miami,
Hills?
Miami, New York.
Yeah. But they have all the
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, and that leaves us.
And
with...
well, one more before we move on to the modern, because if you notice it now, Merriman is the archenemy of Captain Flash, right?
Yes. Yes.
Did anyone else besides me pick up the similarity to Mirror Master and the Flash?
The Flash. Yes, I did. I don't know what you're talking about, sir. What are you trying to get at? Okay. Ah, the silvery. Okay. Wow. Okay. This next enemy is an enemy of Trinity Angels. This is the modern age, by the way. Created by Kevin Maguire. Debuted in Trinity Angels number 1 of Acclaimed Comics, July 1997. Number that actually showed up? A few dozen or so. All will be made clear in a moment. Quote, most of our brethren still remain trapped in their human form. We need to free them from their flesh prisons. I speak of the 99.
Okay.
Numbers are popular for supervillain team names. There's been a Terrible Trio, a Frightful Four, a Fatal Five, a Sinister Six, a Salem Seven, and an evil organization so well staffed that they call themselves the 100 and the 1000. When sisters Maria, Gianna, and Teresa Barbella are granted new powerful forms as the Trinity Angels, they're pitted against a small army of grotesque horrors. 99 horrors, to be exact, social gremlins imprisoned within powerful ancient Trinity gems. As the Angel's mentor explains, every legend about gods or mythological creatures can be traced to the actions of the 99. Given the gutter humor appellations and gross-out powers of the 99, it seems unlikely they were truly ancient inspirations of myth. What role a living mass of nasal mucus calling itself Boogeyman might have played in the great mythology of major civilizations is not only undocumented, it's also patently unclear. Although not all 99 of the 99 turned up in the series, those who did make an appearance include Trenchmouth, who can eject corrosive vomit from his mouth, and his eel-like fang partner Rubberneck. Then there was Tongue Lasher, whose powerful elastic tongue failed to save him in battle. Among the rest are such relatively modest, pun-based villains as the scaly Dragonfly and a two-headed Twin Bill. More risque puns are saved for the armored and spiked Prick, master of the propelling pricks of vengeance. Oh, all right, this makes up for the last few weeks. The headbutting headbutt and blowhard, a rotund gas bag who advises one hero, that powerful wind blast of mine, it doesn't only come out the front. Rounding out the liberated demons were the Lord of the Fleas, the Siamese Fighting Fish, Lounge Lizard, and the Diseased Squirrel. His power? I unnerve people. And the literally named Big Mean Monkey Head. Plus, the multifunctional Mad Cow. From his udders, why does a male cow have udders? He is capable of squirting milks of different offensive capabilities, including stinky, sticky, and crazy milk, the last of which causes panic and madness. Ultimately, the Trinity Angels and the 99's bid for power. This is a great accomplishment for justice, but a genuine loss to the world of juvenile plays on words. Note, the 99 should not be confused with the Teshkiel comic superhero title of the same name, which featured a veritable armada of heroes whose powers were inspired by the 99 attributes of Allah. Okay, now I want to find the graphic comics of this and read this. I don't know why. I never heard of this one. Oh, my God. Okay, and that is this week's entries from the Legion of Regrettable Supervillains. How can the villain sound cooler than the heroes in that last one?
Bookworm, Prick Blowhard, the revitalized villain is the next Bond villain.
That's right.
Not in today's society. No. There was a time that yes, but no.
Yes. That would have been from the 70s. Yes, that would have been.
Sean Connery or Roger Moore. That's pretty much where the border is.
So you mean they wouldn't bring Pussy Galore back in today's society?
Yeah, we're talking no.
Oh. Are you sure?
Pretty much, yeah.
Boo. but, okay, hold on. All right, just really quickly, congratulations to the big Oscar winner from last night. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, they won, what did we say, 7 Oscars?
Yep.
Yeah. I started watching this movie. It was pretty cool. And I thought I set it to record a month or two ago, and it never recorded. I got to find it. I got to find out where I could see this thing. Because, yeah, it was really an interesting concept. I don't want to ruin it, but just
check
it out.
All right, so, like I said, Wednesday during my show starting at 7 p.m., I'm foregoing Stan and Lude so we can bring in the Enigmatic Eight.
Oh, and they brought it back to the movies, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and apparently it's on Showtime. If you have Showtime, you can watch it. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
All right, and I'm going to beam early into the base, so I'm ready for The Greatest Generation.
Oh, you're leaving right now. You're just bailing on us, I see.
Well, it's 3 minutes to go.
And we still didn't talk about, all right, next week we're going to talk about the new upcoming Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem coming out. We still didn't talk about that yet. We got time. It's not coming out yet. We got time. So we'll talk about that next week. I have it saved.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in this week. Sorry for the debacle with the communication problems on our end.
Mm-hmm. My fault. I admit
More
it.
Happy. Like we always say. Somebody asked me about that over the weekend. Something happened. I said, blame Mad. But I like Mad. Yeah, so do we. But we just blame him when everything goes wrong. Just blame Mad. It's his fault. I learned that from people in the group. Just blame Mad.
Rain. Rain.
90 seconds left. Oh, my God. I don't know what your homework is this week. Watch those TV shows. Watch those superhero movies. Read those comic books. Because, you know, it's our genre, folks. What can I say? Have fun, be super, stay super, and vote if you haven't for March Madness, March Mayhem Madness, March Madness Mayhem, whatever. you know, just vote for it. Only five people voted this last week. We have six so far. I want to see at least 15 votes.
Someone suggested when I'm done with March Madness, I take the theme song and present it to the New Day that has the Up, Up, Down, Down video game channel.
Yes. Would be Xavier Woods.
Xavier Woods, that's it. And I remember
Hold
his
on.
Real
I
name is Austin
votes
something.
By Wednesday. Oh, Austin. Yeah, I forget. Well, you just go to Up, Up, Down, Down and look that up. We'll look it up later.
Yeah.
Anything you'd like to say in closing? We got 15 seconds left.
Say goodnight, Gracie. And hope that I do not lose power.
Yes, and hope he doesn't lose power, and hopefully the snow will stay away. Until next week, everybody stay super. We'll see you next Monday night. Stay tuned for the Greatest Generation podcast. On Dawn Radio, Embrace the Dawn. Okay, I'm going to end it here.
All right,
go enjoy your podcast. I'm going to go see what we're going to do for dinner here. Good night.
Okay. Nice.
I'll try and get you that Whopper meal. I'll throw it really far.
Okay.